You're listening to Around Comics, episode 271, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and C2E2. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, you should certainly drop by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Let's get you introduced to this week's panel, which is the same as half of last week's panel. Returning is my partner in crime, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
The prodigal son.
He never left.
Keep trying.
Yeah, I know. Next is Mr. Stevie D of the Comic Book Queers podcast.
Yo.
Good to see you, sir.
What the fuck was that?
That was me.
You've never done that before.
He does that every time.
Oh. Apparently, you don't listen to my show, Sal.
Clearly.
And also is the voice of Word Balloon, Mr. John Suntress.
That's my Charles Nelson Reilly.
What the fuck is that? Thank you, sir.
It's like funny voice.
Can you not just say hello?
Good Lord.
Big banana.
Do you do a Rip Torn?
Pretty much the same. No, Rip Torn is Artie, of course, from Larry. You mean Rip Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, because Rip Torn, Rip Torn, of course, Larry Sanders
got
show
busted.
Artie. Yeah, I know, that always bumps me
you
up.
You like got drunk and wandered into a bank with a gun or something?
Yeah. No, how do you do that?
Yeah.
He was really drunk.
He had the greatest line on Larry Sanders about scotch. He's like, this is scotch, Glenn Livet. He goes, when you die and go to heaven and you say hello to God, this is what he'll have on his breath. And it's like, that's why I love Rip Torn. Got to hang out with him. Rip Taylor. If I had confetti.
You have confetti? Yeah,
yeah, that's what you need.
Nah, Chuck Nelson Reilly, sir.
Charles Nelson Reilly?
The great hoodoo from Lidsville.
I'm a fan of Charles Nelson Reilly.
I can't stop watching Match Game on Game Show.
Wow, 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 wow.
All right.
Wow.
It's the music.
You got the sound effect.
Gumdora was showing him.
What the hell's going on here?
I tell you, John, we haven't had you read a spot in a while. Why don't you let people know about InStockTrades.com?
They're fine people.
Do it, bro.
Show what voice should I do?
Just make one.
InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. And not only you, but most of the American people. InStock Trades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essential showcases archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, yes, even books from the left, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember, you liberal idiots, all orders over $50 ship for free. And for those of conservative beliefs, the normal thinking people, not the retards like some of the people.
Jesus.
Well, that's what he had to call it.
No, John. You don't have to be that authentic. Insulting people.
Remember, all orders over $50 ship free. They're great people at InStockTrades.com. Of course, too, doing the Windy City, or pardon me, the Summit City
Summit
Convention.
City Con, yes.
May 22nd in beautiful Fort Wayne, Indiana. I say beautiful because I'm being nice. But it's all right. It's going to be a great convention, though. Mike Norton's going to be there. Tim Seeley.
Jim Rugg.
Robert Atkins, Andy Jewett's going to be there, Burnham's going to be there, lots of great people, it's going to be a lot of fun. That's
I don't know
May 22nd.
One person you just said.
You know some of them. But it's good. No, honestly, it's a great... It's,
Norton will hit you.
They are putting together a really neat show, and I can't wait for it. May 22nd, Summit City, from your friends at InStockTrades.com, where you'll find great deals.
Yes.
Go check them out, InStockTrades.com.
Yeah, including our book club selection,
yes,
which
indeed.
Is the Alien Legion Omnibus, Volume 1. Tom...
You're never doing that.
No,
show.
Tom told me he found it, he unpacked it, so he has recovered the book, and he's going to read it this weekend, because Sam is out of town, and he's just going to be popping Vicodin, and he's going to be popping Vicodin.
It's like a Diamond L. It's like a designer drug. We don't got Vicodin, but we got Vicodin for you. That's close enough, right?
He's going to be popping those and reading Alien Legion. I have this feeling that Tom is very much like House at this point.
Angry.
Yeah, in my mind,
drug-addled.
He's morphed into Hugh Laurie. So
that's not bad.
British.
I'd hang out with him.
Hugh Laurie's awesome. I love Cos.
I wouldn't hang out with Tom, though. What, Hugh Laurie.
Does anyone else find it weird that Amanda Conner has the same haircut as Power Girl?
Let me see the...
She looks just like her. She looks exactly like how
she's
she drives
Power Girl. She's so sweet.
You got a problem with that?
She's very cool. Her and Jimmy, they're an awesome
kinda,
couple.
Yeah. I don't know why. It bothers me a little bit, but... Well, just wondering.
Well, she'll be here at C2E2, so we can talk to her.
I'm going to ask her.
I'm going to squeeze her boobies, hopefully.
What?
What?
Nothing. What are you going to squeeze?
Not her boobies?
Man, I'm telling you, Jimmy's going to kick your ass.
Who's Jimmy?
Jimmy Palmiotti.
Let's see him try.
That's a Paramore, absolutely.
Let's see him try.
Oh, man.
Jimmy's a big guy.
Because I screamed like a awesome girl too. And run really fast.
He's great. He's a good man. We love him.
I didn't say it.
What's wrong with you?
None of us could get away with that comment except for you, Steve.
Yes,
that's true.
I used to work with a guy who would tell me, he would see how I would interact with women at the office, and then he would turn to me and he'd say, reason number 695 why you can get away with this shit and I can't.
That's true. Hey, we were gonna carry over a conversation from last week. What were
First wave.
It was a week ago. How do I remember?
Yeah, exactly. I know. I got a memory like a steel trap, sir.
Yes, First Wave came out here a couple weeks ago. It's the new Brian Azzarello spearheaded line of comics from DC, and it was awesome.
I quite agree. Rags Morales, awesome job on interiors. J.G. Jones, beautiful cover. Neil Adams, beautiful. Incentive, whatever it is. But yeah, I like it.
I didn't know how I was gonna like how much I was gonna like Rags Morales as the artist on that book. But man, it, like the first page, I was like, "Yeah, it works. This is fun." He strike me as the right guy. The right guy to do like golden age and early silver. You know, it's all golden age. His style didn't strike me as a golden age character.
I don't think they're trying to make it a golden age book though. That's the whole point. I think he
changed up his style a little bit. It wasn't Identity Crisis,
but that's because they're not. For me, it's because they're not wearing capes. I don't know. I mean, to me, it seemed like good old Rags.
What I'm saying is that I was stupid and wrong. I don't mean to say anything
we don't already know.
there are different designs for some of the characters. The Doc's assistants look a little different, and they're a little prettied up. I think for this, Monk Mayfair is not the apish Bruiser, looking guy. Yeah. I mean, still a tough guy,
but not quite. I did like the what's his name? Doolin? The commissioner guy?
Dolan. Yeah. The Spectre's commissioner that guy right from there. Central City.
Spirits.
The Spectre, the Spirit, yes, indeed.
I thought he did a great job with his face, because he gave him that cartoony Will Eisner kind of jaw and everything.
But still realistic.
But still looked real. I thought he did a really good job with that.
It was just barely exaggerated.
You knew who it was, but at the same time, it looked real.
And Brian said with the Spirit, he's going to, it will be a little funny, but definitely toned down from if you're used to seeing the Eisner. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's fine. I
thought he did a really nice job with the Spirit.
It was great.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see those.
I thought it was all of
them. I want that page, the four-panel page with the Spirit, the jumping kind of from panel to panel.
Oh, yeah.
Such a beautiful page.
Jumping out of the truck.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see the numbers, because I remember when they announced it, I was thrilled, and I was talking to Azzarello about it, and he's like, nobody's going to read this. Nobody cares. And, Brian is always going to say the glass is half empty, and that's okay. But no, I think it's incredible.
No, when they first announced it, I was cutting glass my nipples, because I thought to myself, I was like, this is...
So it was Thursday.
Yeah. I was amazed by just the fact that they had these characters in there. This was before they announced they were going to have Batman involved and Black Canary involved. It was just going to be, I thought, these were just
Doc Savage.
Yeah. I was getting ready for it.
Yeah, me too. I was absolutely looking forward
Batman
to it.
Batman actually put me off a little bit.
I can see.
Yeah, but
including
but,
him?
At, yeah, at first,
but,
he did.
But then you kind of understand that this is not the Batman.
Same Batman.
And I think
that's the thing, and you only get a taste of it in this first issue, but none of these characters are the characters you're familiar with. Exactly. You know what I mean? They're all a little seedier.
Yeah.
They're all a little... Other than Doc Savage.
Because I was going to say, Doc and his crew...
Doc's not... But even Doc is colder.
I don't know. I always found want him kind of that kind of cold anyway. But where I do see the difference, and I saw it in previews, is what they're doing with Pat Savage, his cousin. The girl.
Really?
And yeah, she's going to be a news reporter, which I think is kind of interesting. And yeah, I'm very curious to see as it develops how the difference
But
there.
I think like the spirit is not the same. I mean, like you said, like he's not as jokey. And Doolin, obviously,
even though that
is
was
not
a, that
the
was a
same.
It was a great scene in the cemetery.
That was a fantastic sequence. Yeah. The whole thing with them, that interaction.
I think
the whole thing's been
an idiot.
Yeah. Well, and that's why. So, I mean, yeah, for me, it was kind of more familiar than what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be much more radically different.
Well, I
think
they certainly kept with the core of all those characters, but they're just a little more
real.
Yeah, they're just a little more three-dimensional, which Ezra does well. I mean, that's his strength, certainly his character. You know,
I do have a question, though, about this world they inhabit with the cell phones and the wireless phones, but yet it's still very, like, 40s.
Dated.
And everything
was
else.
Cell phones?
Yes, actually, well, there's a panel where a woman is talking on the phone with her kids are present. I forget what sequence it was in. But she's on a wireless phone.
Ryan explained it.
In the special that they had prior to this, Doc Savage had a cell phone.
That's mm-hmm. right. And no, Brian said it from
email.
The start.
Well, it was
when it was announced.
It was Savage, right, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, I don't know. Have they said what's the time frame? But isn't it because Savage has sort of brought that sort of technology?
No, what's going on is, and Brian explained this, I think, when he was talking about how they came out with the idea for the series, he's taking the best aspects of the 20th century. And he said from the start, he goes, you're going to see cell phones and Tommy guns. You're going to see cars with running boards, and you're still going to see satellites. I mean, it's everything that made the 20th century interesting, and everything goes. There was a war. It wasn't World War II, but there was a war.
The war.
Which explains the appearance of characters at the end of the book for people who haven't read it yet.
Right.
But
which was awesome.
It was awesome. And that's the thing. I think it's a good blending. And that's why I think they needed Batman for readers that aren't hip to pulps. And I was going to ask you guys.
I get that, yeah.
Because I know you're only a few years younger than me, Stevie, but I don't know. Did you ever read any of, like, the Doc Savage stuff or The Shadow or, you know,
any of that
stuff?
Here's the weird thing about it. I read Howard Chaykin's Shadow in the 80s.
Loved it.
Absolutely loved it. I've always been interested in the pulp characters, but have never read them.
Well, they're tough reads because they are very, and like we were saying, making the characters more three-dimensional.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not. Exactly. They are. It's writing of its time.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's, you know, and the ideas are very interesting.
Yes.
But yeah, it can be kind of dry.
Not the best writers. I mean, not the best writers either.
They were writing for
stuff.
A penny a word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Literally.
They were.
You know,
they were pumping
pulp
that
writers.
Stuff out, and I mean,
it was cheap paper.
Because
it was cheap writing.
Yeah, I've read some of it. I mean, I've read some, but I like the idea of it more than I like the actual stories. Like that's why I love like Tom Strong.
Sure.
Because Tom Strong is the best of that,
right.
But it's not, you're not trying to wade through those, you know, stories.
And
so.
some great writers did come from the pulps. I mean, Hammett came from the pulps, and Chandler kind of did, but I think Chandler was kind of above the pulps.
Who is the oh, God.
Give me the character and I might help you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the character's name, too. Mine's...
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Actually, Hank just said Elmore Leonard came from the pulps, and he's absolutely right. He came from the Westerns and everything.
Pulp, yeah.
So, you know, no, I mean, that's... It's a good
King
start.
King Solomon's Mines?
I don't know who wrote... I forget who wrote that.
With an H? God.
I classic. Obviously.
I can't think of it. I can't think of it. But I think he came.
Quartermain, the Alan Quartermain, is the character from King's, and of course from the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I can't think of the writer. I can't think of it. But I think he came from pulp.
Probably. Well, you know, you're right. I mean, you know, King Solomon is of
King
that.
Solomon.
That's more 19th century.
Yeah.
You know, pulps. But yeah, you're right about that. And
are
Nick
they
Carter,
they're doing some King Solomon, right?
Are they?
Or no, Solomon Kane.
Well, Solomon Cain, that's the movie that's come out. That's Robert Howard.
Yeah,
Robert Howard, of course, came
out.
But
isn't that Justice?
And also, by the way, Robert Howard was really
Justice
another
Inc.
pulp writer, really. I mean, if you read Robert Howard's actual stuff, it's... It can,
yeah, Justice Inc., that character is going to be in there.
Yes, indeed. Richard Benson, the Avenger.
Okay, that's okay.
He's in charge of Justice Inc. He's got two assistants. Kind of a poor man's Doc Savage. I mean, much like Superman and Batman were not. There were tons of knockoffs.
Yeah.
Doc and the Shadow were the templates that so many characters were inspired by those two.
I liked about this particular issue though the most is that Azzarello doesn't give a shit if you understand
or
what's going on.
Right.
Or not. He drops you into the story.
But you don't.
And
need
this
to
whole
know.
This issue is just all questions. It's like, why is this happening? What does this go? Who is this person? What are they doing? Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of it, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But that's, you know, but that's
it was great.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean,
it's
like, oh, yeah, I don't know who that guy is that was dropped in the jungle in South America.
Well, he was the scientist that ran away from the bad guys.
Yeah,
guess, yeah. The hell they are.
The big project.
The Red Hand. We don't know who's running.
He's
the Red
a
Hand
some
yet,
scientist
so.
That ran away, and then at the end, the body was that Savage Senior's body that they were transporting at the end that the people at the end were picking up. Right, that was Savage Senior's body.
Yeah, and
but,
that's why
but
that
Spirit
that,
didn't know that. I mean, he didn't know.
No,
it was just a body.
Spirit never really knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. That is kind of.
But I'm really looking forward. I mean, I really enjoyed the first issue, and I love Azarillo stuff anyway. And
plus, these miniseries, they got great people writing and drawing this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And what else?
Mark Schultz is doing the Spirit.
With art by Mortat.
Yeah, Mortat's doing
the
art.
Yeah.
And you know, I wish Steve Bryant were here. I evoked his name last week as well, because we were talking, and I can't remember the guy's name.
Were you cursing him?
In a good way.
Oh.
Damn you, Bryant.
There was a novel that came out just a couple of years ago where it was... funny, a great idea of taking Walter Gibson, who was the creator of The Shadow, Lester Dent, the creator of Doc Savage, and H.P. Lovecraft, and sent them on this foreign intrigue mission around the world. And it's this great adventure. The guy who wrote that is going to be writing one of the other satellite books.
Really?
And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They've got really cool people doing this stuff to entice, I think, pulp fans. Mark Schultz is another guy like that who, you know, I mean, this guy loves... Really.
Mark Schultz, who I'm not familiar with him.
Mark Schultz, Xenozoic Tales, and he
that
did drew Superman back, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. Awesome. And just did that fantastic.
That's right up his alley, then.
He did that great biography of Al Williamson, and it just celebrated all of Al Williamson's Flash Gordon stuff.
Ooh.
I
know you said you were Steve Johnson's. Yes. Yeah. Great book.
Looks amazing.
Mark will be at WonderCon. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. Smart guy. But, you know, perfect guy to write this stuff. And a beautiful artist, but I guess he's just writing, you know, for the first wave stuff. But, no, I think this is really cool. And, you know, we talked about the Red Circle characters, pardon my spit, last week.
I don't mind.
On the show. Thank you, Stevie. And, I think, you know, and taking nothing away from the guys that are writing the Red Circle characters.
Yeah, because the Shield, I'm enjoying the Shield.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know, maybe because I did try to read those paperbacks of Doc and the Shadow and Richard Benson the Avenger and people like that, that I'm more excited about this series. And I think the licenses are in good hands, and I think this is going to be a great series.
Well, I think they're structuring it the right way, too, is doing it as a series of miniseries as opposed to saying, let's do an ongoing with this.
And also, because the original plan of the Red Circle was to have Batman kind of be the envoy for those characters as well. And maybe because of...
When in doubt, use the bat.
Enter Wolverine. Same with Spider-Man, and how many Marvel characters were done the same, you know, did the same thing to introduce characters. It's smart. I mean, it is the best way to introduce characters that you're not familiar with. But I think, great start. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I completely agree with you, Sal. I love the fact that Azarello was just like, here's the story.
Yep.
If you don't know who they are, that's all right.
Don't know what's going on. Yeah, if you don't know Doc Savage, if you don't know the Spirit, you'll learn them. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Or you won't.
In a story that starts with a guy running through the jungle that then has his eye gouged out by a robot is a good story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right there. How do you run? But it was just like, there's this, I mean, and it was very typical of the pulp stuff too, of like,
absolutely,
here's this really intricate, you know, international mystery. You don't know what's going on in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You'll know by the end, and that's the whole point of it. But I mean, it just really had that feeling of like a, you know, a Bogart movie or something.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, where it's just foreign intrigue.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean? You don't know what's going
on,
and it's all over the place, and all these different huge cast of characters, and it really had that.
And everybody's going to intersect.
Yeah, and everybody's sort of seedy. I mean, it's very noirish. It was very, but at the same time,
it'll be international. So yeah, that's where that kind of foreign intrigue comes into play.
Great.
Yep. No, I'm a big fan. You know, and looking over at the racks of some of the new stuff, another character that is inspired by the pulps is Warlord. And I don't know if anyone's reading Micro War.
Yeah.
Did you see this week's issue?
No, not yet.
An interesting turn. If people haven't been reading Warlord,
turn of events.
I don't know if I should. Well, it'll be a couple of weeks now when this is released. So I guess
he becomes a woman.
No, the torch has been passed, and Travis Morgan is no more. He is dead, sirs.
What?
And his son has
Are you fucking kidding me?
It's man, I gotta tell you, I should have seen it coming because you know it makes sense, and I give DC and Grell a lot of credit for taking 12 issues to reach this point. And who knows, maybe this is only going to be temporary just to get people saying, you know, talking about it.
It's the end.
The few people.
I heard it was canceled.
I don't know what kind of sales it's doing. It wouldn't surprise me. And I am pleased to see that 12 wasn't the final issue.
It was one of those series that when it came back in the day, I wasn't really crazy about it.
Oh, man.
And there was just
love it.
It was weird because and I think I've talked about this before. Like, there were certain things that I was into, but not in comics. Like, I don't want to read G.I. Joe or Transformers. Mm-hmm. I like G.I. Joe and Transformers,
you like
the cartoon,
okay.
But I don't want to read comics. And it was the same sort of thing with that. It's like, I loved like Conan and Dungeons
and
Dragons.
Sword and Sandal movies.
I just don't want to read them in the comics.
It's Conan meets Land of the Lost.
With science and science fiction thrown in as well. No, that's what I love about it. It is. It's very much Conan-esque, but it has this...
Needs more sleestacks.
I can appreciate that. But it's... He also just draws beautiful women, beautiful men.
Oh, girls.
He draws everything.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
Oh, excuse me. Have you ever read Legion of the Superheroes when Mike Grell was drawing that?
Hell yeah.
God damn, that's beautiful.
Absolutely, man.
Except the costumes. Except when he gets colletted.
Colletted.
Oh, well.
Oh, man.
Don't be a hater.
Don't be such an 11 o'clock comics.
What?
That's right.
Don't be an 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
It's like a weekly award. Here's my 11 o'clock. Which is that? Yeah.
But the showcase.
What else?
That showcase Warlord is a good primer if you want to catch up.
Yeah. I try and read Longbow Hunters once a year. It's
awesome.
One of my all time favorite.
Big fan.
Favorite comics.
And John Sable. Love all that stuff. Glad to see that he's doing that again at IDW and Comic Mix Online.
I just think I don't like Mike Grell.
Maybe not. That's okay.
Really?
Sorry.
That's all right.
It's understandable.
It's not for everyone.
What is Longbow Hunters?
The Green Arrow.
The prestige format that came out right after Dark Knight.
Yeah.
When Ollie moved to Seattle.
I got to be honest, I've never been that crazy of an Ollie fan. I've never been that big of a Green Arrow fan.
I got to tell you, J.T. Krull is about to, and actually it's already begun in the pages of Justice League, but Cry for Justice. But Ollie's about to embark on a
Should we talk about that?
Why not? It's an event.
I didn't read it, but I read all the shit on the internet about it.
Okay.
Which is just as good.
Yeah.
What is it? Wait.
Haven't heard about what's happened?
It happens at the end of Cry for Justice
number 7.
Spoilers.
Oh, I haven't read that. I just got so bored with that series.
I can appreciate that, but Jesus. It had a good ending.
I read one issue, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. I think I read four.
Prometheus, we hardly knew ye, for he is no more.
So
an arrow to the head.
So Ollie killed him?
Ollie killed Prometheus.
Yeah, the guy who for the first six issues was built up to be like, this is the number two bad guy in all the DC universe. Look out, he'll get you.
And an arrow to the head kills him, takes him out. Bullshit.
Well,
see, this is the problem I have with Green Arrow in the first place. He's hanging out with Green Lantern, and I'm like, why are you hanging out with a dude that has a fucking bow and arrow? You have a magic power ring that can do anything.
Yeah,
you want
a bow
and arrow? You can make a guy with a bow and arrow with your ring. You don't need a guy.
You can make 10 of them.
Yeah, you can make 50 of them. I mean, you can, you know, it's like,
come on, Ollie Queen, angry liberal, loses his millions and is going to be there for the little guy. I love that guy. He's a champion for the little guy.
But after that, it kind of is boring.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I like Green Arrow.
It was boring beforehand.
And honestly, Quill, man,
I did like the Jacques and Andy Diggle year one.
I like Jacques. He's British, but if he were French, it would be Jacques, I'm sure.
Jacques's not his name anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I like going all the way back to, like, you know, the Arrow car and the Arrow cave.
Yeah, even the Jack Kirby.
Let's talk about what happened with Roy Harper.
Indeed.
Let's talk about Roy Harper for a minute.
He lose his arm or
he
something?
He sure did.
That's the first thing that happened to him.
It got worse.
Oh, it got worse.
Oh, no.
John, did you read the issue?
I'm trying to remember what exactly. Go ahead, Stevie. Continue.
Leanne, his daughter, murdered.
Yes.
Wait, Roy
That's
had
right.
a daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cheshire.
With Cheshire.
Yeah, Cheshire.
Oh.
And, yeah, I don't pay attention to the Arrow people.
You know,
even it's always a big Titans. Even it's always a big Titans storyline, though. What are you going to do with Leanne?
Yeah, just watch Leanne. You're just like, fuck it, I've seen Robin Hood. I don't need to watch these guys.
Wow, man.
Arrow
but,
guys. No,
but that kind of, I think that takes away from Roy. That's one of the things that made him interesting was having that daughter with the supervillain.
I agree, and also I was kind of bummed, although, I mean, don't get me wrong, nobody shot my dog. It's okay.
I've gotten you wrong a lot of times before.
But you know, taking away his arm, well, now I guess he's going to go back to the name Arsenal, and I'm sure he's going to get a robotic arm that's going to do a bunch of shit.
That would be awesome.
It's going to shoot
what I was thinking, too.
And
right,
come on, it's got to happen. It absolutely has
to
happen.
Well, this whole thing seems to me like, you know, they kept building up. The Dio kept saying over and over again through every convention the last couple years, he's like, oh, watch Green Arrow. He's the guy to watch.
That's right.
He's the guy to watch, right? And it seems to me as if, now, I'm not going to take credit for this idea because I read this on the internet because that's what I do. But it seems to me like they're just trying to place Green Arrow in a position to where he's going to be
bad.
No, he's going to go to prison for something, right?
Well,
they're setting him up to be for that movie,
Supermax.
Yes,
which is the maximum security prison for supervillains, and Green Arrow's in there. I think you're right, and also, I've lost my train of thought. So
we couldn't sell this movie, so let's go ahead and put this into the comic book.
But much like what they've done with Superman. And they've put the brain trust in there because I think I talked to J.T. Krull, who's going to be writing Arsenal's and Ollie's story. It sounds like James Robinson, they all sat, and J.T. all sat down and kind of mapped out what's going to happen in this story.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't obviously give me details. He's going to be at C2E2, and by then the first couple of chapters will
J.T.
be out.
Krull.
So yeah, J.T. Krull will be there.
I like his stuff,
and I do too. I thought Blackest Night Titans was excellent. I thought his couple issues of Slade's family in Teen Titans was pretty good too. So during Blackest Night, but I think there is an interesting plan. But I think you're right, Stevie. I think it is leading to this Supermax story.
That's all I can think of.
And also, if
it
you've been reading Justice League,
everything's kind of dovetailing into.
There's
got to
be some
stuff,
sort of time paradox because Ollie was wearing the old Mike Grell hood when he shot Prometheus,
son of a bitch.
And at the end of the most recent Justice League story. The transporter, or whatever the JLA calls their transporter, Star Trek. But anyway,
teleport, boom,
yeah, the teleporter or whatever, pops up, and Ollie is there looking like he did in the 70s, and he's like, "Hey, where is everybody?" So
it's a time travel.
I think there's
Ollie.
A time pair. Yeah, I think a future.
Makes him more interesting, doesn't it? A time traveling guy with a bow and arrow.
Well, yeah.
Let's see what else we can figure out to make him more interesting because he's such a boring character.
No, I was just gonna say like I heard Chris say on 11 o'clock comics earlier today. The Kevin Smith issues.
I was drunk. I'm sorry.
The Kevin Smith issues of Green Arrow.
Green Hornet.
No,
Green Arrow.
That's the new one. But
I wanted to talk about Green Hornet.
I mean, that was amazing. That
Green Arrow.
You know, that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I don't give a shit about Green Arrow.
You didn't like Brad Meltzer's follow?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I loved it, man.
Let me tell you something about Brad Meltzer.
Please, because I'm a huge fan of Brad Meltzer. Oh, let's go.
Uh-oh. You're a huge fan
Throw
of him?
Down. Throw
Fantastic.
Down. Let's go, Ben.
I'm good. I'm so glad
Talk
I
to
heard
me.
That from you.
No, this is what I want. Good.
When I'm having problems with insomnia, I'll read something that he wrote.
All right.
Even his novels?
He bores the fuck out of me. Yeah, I tried reading that. What was that? Book of Truth?
Yeah, the Book of Lies was the Jerry Siegel one.
Was it the first one?
No, Book of Fate was the one
with
the...
Book of Fate.
I loved Book of Fate. Oh, man, I thought it was awesome.
I read it on a fucking plane, man, and how can that not...
Maybe
I mean,
give a
on.
Shit about the Freemasons. All right, fine. I like that.
I want to talk about a book I like.
I want to talk about...
But my point was going to be... I'll talk about Green Hornet later, but go ahead. I love Green...
I'm going to bring it over to Marvel since we've been talking so much.
No, yeah, please.
Wow.
How 11 o'clock comics of
you. I know. Very much so. I was shocked. Wow, Marvel's been putting out... Good books.
They have?
Some of them.
What do you read that you like?
I like... Oh, and I got to give Tom credit for this because he turned me on to how good Dan Slott's Mighty Avengers.
Yes.
It's the best Avengers book in decades.
Yes,
I think
it's a lot of fun.
It's a fantastic, agreed, like good Avengers book.
Since Red Zone,
yep. So Henry Pym becoming the scientist supreme didn't bother you?
No, God, no. I thought that was great. I like it too. Oh, this is the most interesting Henry Pym. He's more than just a wife beater. He's actually a superhero and you know an interesting character, and not just the 50th smartest guy on the planet.
Last year, he's
actually more interesting.
Last year at the Chicago Comic Con. The former Wizard show, Dan, I interviewed him, and we had a great 20-minute talk about it. And he said, I'm going to do something in the book that either a lot of people are going to like, or they're really nice. They're going to hate it. He's talking about the scientists.
Oh, no, I think it's great.
I think it's fantastic.
I'm voting yes on that one.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The last issue, it was with Thor and Loki. And
yep.
They are, I mean, it's just so much stuff packed into that one issue of, like, I'm reading, and I'm like, this is just fun.
Classic,
this is what an Avengers
classic
movie,
yeah, exactly.
You
definitely
have Thor getting pissed off and fighting the Avengers, and then by the end of the book, the Avengers have broken up, and you have Loki, probably the best written Loki I think I've ever read.
Oh, yeah.
Just the moments of like him manipulating people in the moment and trying to get out of it.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. And then, Hank's
Quicksilver.
I love the opening of it, too, where they're having the sitting down and having breakfast, and each character is like recapping what's been happening in their own series.
Yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
To me, it's the best the Avengers have been in a long time. Nothing against Bendis's Avengers, but those are different books.
They are different books, and it was done differently, but for a purpose. But I agree. Yeah. If you're missing the Avengers, Dan's been, and Chris Cage too. Yeah. Christos Cage.
Yeah. And I tell you what I'm really disappointed about. Looking at all the new Avengers solicits with the reboot.
That Dan's not writing an Avengers
book. No Dan slot.
Really? Yeah, he's not doing any of the Avengers.
That is horrible.
Yeah, I don't really care about new Avengers and new Avengers.
You don't
Avengers
like Secret Avengers?
And Secret
and,
Avengers.
Avengers
and
with Double Mint Gum?
No, I could
Did you see
fuck.
The Secret Avengers? You know how they were doing the silhouettes?
Yes.
Did you see the one with Hello Kitty?
No,
it's fucking awesome.
Now it's like, let's just throw anyone on. I'm an Avenger.
I'm looking forward to Brubaker writing Secret Avengers.
And Gem
and
the Holograms is...
No, what's her name?
Hey, you, okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about. No, what's her name?
Jewel.
Is it Jewel?
Yeah.
It's like the only reason she's interesting is because she used to be a superhero. Yeah. Now you're going to make her a superhero again? Yeah.
Well, just for a while. I'm sure that'll end badly if you know Jessica Drew. Jessica Jones. I mean, it'll end badly. Jessica Cage,
of course. She was supposed to be Jessica
Honestly,
Drew.
I have no interest. The only interest in any of those books I would have is because Stuart Immonen.
Yes, sir.
He's drawing it.
Oh, my God.
So I can just look at it and not read any of the
he's the only
many,
reason why
many,
I've read
many
Bendis
many
books honestly
haters oh, haters all
I was gonna it was funny
I love it
on Twitter the other day Bendis was doing a little thing where like he was saying I'm gonna you know he was like giving a story plot line on Twitter but they ran out of room before he got to the end of like some kind of and I'm like you know what. Have you ever thought about limiting your word balloons to 140 characters, Brian? I didn't do it because I was just like, I'm not going to bother.
Twitter could be an exercise.
What's he going to do to me? He's like a 4-foot-tall Jewish midget.
You don't know what you're talking about. You don't care. But back to Brad Meltzer. Let me tell you
How
something.
How dare you?
I thought the Lightning Saga was awesome. I thought the little thing that he
Whose
just did with Geoforce was fantastic. That one-shot.
I like
that. I'm glad you had fun with all that.
Geoforce and Deathstroke.
I had Geoforce one shot. I thought it was ridiculous.
Goddamn, his Buffy right now is... That was a great first issue of Buffy with Twilight that's coming up.
First off, who the fuck is this Buffy you're speaking of?
Come on, you don't read Buffy.
No, I don't.
No shit.
I've never been a Buffy fan except for the movie.
What?
But the first movie.
But there are lesbians in
Buffy. Get the fuck out of here.
Hell yeah, I love that first movie.
I hated that movie.
That's Christy Swanson's the real fucking Buffy.
I understand.
I did like... wasn't it Pee-wee Herman in that?
Yeah.
Paul Rubens.
Yeah, Paul Rubens was phenomenal.
He's a great...
He's awesome. Are you done yet?
Paul Rubens is a genius.
Great character actor.
No, Paul Rubens is a genius.
Paul Rubens is truly fantastic. Yeah.
So, I'm shocked though. I didn't really. You don't like.
I don't know what it. Brad Meltzer's his Justice League bored the shit out of me.
The one great issue with Gene Ha, the one where Vixen.
They're
and,
buried underneath rubble.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring myself to read it.
I thought that was a good one shot. I did think that the first arc was fantastic. I liked Meltzer's run. What I didn't understand was the need to continue it when Dwayne was writing the book, when Dwayne McDuffie was writing the book. And I understand he was kind of hampered, and it became very public that he couldn't use a lot of the other characters that he wanted to because they were busy in other storylines. Right. And, you know, I've talked about that before where I just think that's ridiculous.
Well, hey, you want to talk about some good Dwayne McDuffie Justice League? Has
Crisis
everybody seen Crisis on Two Earths?
I've not seen it
yet. Yes, sir, Senator.
I've not seen
it. Awesome. I have seen it.
Wonderful production.
You enjoyed it.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Dwayne's coming home. I mean, I guess it was supposed to be an episode of Justice League.
But it wasn't an episode. I think it was... The bridge between. It was a bridge movie between JLA and JLU.
Yes.
Whenever they started to expand. You know, there's the whole line in the movie where Batman's like, well, I've been thinking about a membership drive. And that's what JLU is all about.
That's true.
It's expanding the Justice League to make it multinational.
Honestly, Bruce Timm, Alan Burnett, and everyone that's involved with these movies, they've been honestly kicking ass. The only one that I wasn't crazy about was Superman Doomsday, and that's because you can't help but have the Death of Superman story in your mind when you see it.
I watched the Public Enemies.
Loved
Batman,
it. I thought that was Batman. Fine.
That was really good. I like that one a lot.
Yeah,
you know what?
Shazam.
The highest selling of the seven that DC's put out.
Was it Public Enemies?
Green Lantern?
It was Death of Superman.
I'm not surprised.
The least selling has been Green Lantern.
Yeah. Isn't that disappointing? Well, but again, I can...
Fuck you, people.
Followed by New Frontier.
Well, that's interesting. That really shocked me, too. But, well... Yeah.
People are stupid.
Wonder Woman actually sold pretty well.
Wonder Woman was great. I had the guy who wrote the Wonder Woman movie, because he's one of the co-producers of Batman Brave and Bold. Michael, forgetting his name right now, but Michael, whatever.
I don't know.
Way to go,
That guy, Michael.
But no, the two of them have been involved with the Tim Burnett, Stan Berkowitz animated series going back to Batman, Superman, Justice League.
I watch him with my kid. He likes him. He doesn't understand most of it.
I watch more
of
the sleeper feature on that DVD is the Spectre short, which is
outstanding. Oh, God, that was awesome.
Wow.
That was
awesome. I am so excited to see
Steve
that.
Niles written.
Stevie, honestly, from the whatever you'd call the title sequence, before they actually get to the story, it's this whole showcase umbrella that they're going to put these shorts under.
Well, you know, the 70s Spectre stories with Jim Aparo on art, that's
Michael
my
Fletcher,
shit,
man. Yep.
That's
me too, man.
Me too. Love this show.
Yeah, no,
It's straight up 70s.
Dude, it's got the boom chicka bow. Oh,
yes, soundtrack. Yes.
Film grain.
Yeah,
it's awesome. like an old film print and everything. There's like lines in the animated film.
I'm gonna make it look like
a I was gonna say, man, your cock will have never been harder from start to finish. You'll be very pleased.
Your nipples will cut more glass than ever before.
Continuity, Sal. Love it.
Jonah Hex, I think, is slated as the next show.
Now, have you guys... Oh, no, that's coming... They're going to do an animated Jonah Hex?
Yeah,
as well?
I was going to say, that's what's smart. It's going to be short.
They're doing a new showcase for each one. I think they...
Film that comes out, they're going to do a showcase.
Yeah,
I just want like a bunch of those showcases together.
Yeah, that's a smart move.
But I think, it's going to promote the movie. I think that... And I think that's what's lacking for the Green Lantern sales. Again, it's like Iron Man before the Marvel movie. You know, maybe the fans don't know about it and stuff, and maybe retroactively they might go back to it if the movie's good.
With the Green Lantern, now they've announced that it's going to be 3D.
Not crazy about that.
I mean, I can understand it. It's like it's a natural.
Yeah, it's the new novelty.
It's the new hotness, and it's a natural fit for it because you can make shit fly at the screen with a ring. But,
sure.
Just don't. Try and go out of your way to make it.
Just
3D.
Make a good movie first.
Just make
don't
it
worry
a good
about
movie.
All the
and
why?
Right. I think that
they had a good brain trust doing it.
I think that's what Cameron did with Avatar. Is that he made just a good movie that was 3D.
That's a different monster, though. I mean,
didn't make a point of from the really bad 3D movies from the 80s, where someone has to take a pencil and
says 3D, all I can think about is Count Floyd on SCTV.
Yes, Bruno. Yes,
yeah,
Bruno.
I forgot about that.
Wait till my stream. Classic 3D House of Stortises.
3D houses. That show was very.
I have those DVDs. I have all
do
those.
You?
Oh yeah. Again, half price books. Add them dirt cheap.
The I gotta start going to half price books.
Which one?
The Fisher musician.
Yes, Gil Fisher. Oh, Jim Dandy. Wendell Williams and the Plasmatics. He went balloon fishing with what's his face?
You have no idea what's going on here, Brandon. What are you doing?
What are they talking about?
It's classic, man.
I don't even know what the hell we're talking about now.
SCTV. I saw Jeff Garland last night at Park West, and he was talking about that first episode of the last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Catherine O'Hara was Funkhauser's crazy sister. And he's like, it was awesome. He goes, honestly, he goes, well, we were sitting there filming scenes, and in my mind, I'm like, I'm sitting here doing a scene with fucking Catherine O'Hara. That's awesome. Because she is. She's one of the funniest women that doesn't get the credit she deserves.
But not on the Olympic closing ceremonies, though.
Was she there?
Oh, it was not good. It was not good.
Really?
Yeah. Why was Catherine O'Hara at the Olympic closing
ceremony? She's Canadian, obviously.
She's not a Canadian athlete.
Did she sing?
Well, she was part of the closing ceremonies are kind of a happy...
skits?
It's a big skits. Where the opening...
No wonder I give two shits about fucking Olympics anymore.
The opening ceremonies are all pomp and circumstance. Yeah. The closing ceremonies are more fun and just wacky stuff.
I don't remember. I just remember it being more pomp and circumstance. And I just remember Jim McKay as the fires and the embers of the Olympic torch die.
They kind of changed it up and made it more.
It's
of
the
a
Winter
variety
Olympics.
Show.
They got to try and spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Canadian.
Yeah. Well, they did have Neil Young come out and do "Wong May You Run," which I guess is like
Wong
his.
Wong May You Run.
Is that the Canadian?
Well, he's Canadian.
National anthem.
Yeah. Canadian anthem.
I think it is. Amongst the Maple Leafs.
Hey, after watching, I did watch some of the opening ceremonies of that. And
I
know we always made fun of Canadians on the show.
Oh, yeah.
But after watching, I was like, holy fuck.
They deserve it.
They do. They are a bunch of hillbillies. Those are northern hillbillies. Oh, my God.
Dude, I can't tell you how many American friends moved up to Canada, and they all got hot wives, and they're all monkeys. They're all, like, ugly guys. Ugly fucking guys. And they married these beautiful, sweet, hot women. And, oh, yes, Dean's wonderful. He's a really great guy, you know? And it's like... Dude, you got a fucking centerfold. How the hell did you? He's like, oh, shit, if I know, man, they're fucking Canadians. What do you want me to do?
That's insane.
They like monkeys up there.
And then seriously, my brother-in-law's brother, I'm like, dude, we got to move to fucking Canada. What the hell are we doing? Jesus, look at that. How the hell did that happen?
Are we recording?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I insulted Canadians that badly? Come on.
Come on. It's continuity builders.
Yeah. Honestly, genius comedy comes out of Canada. And not only SCTV, but Ken Finkelman, who honestly, when I see the
immigrants, the fuck is Ken Finkelman?
I will tell you, sir. If you like Curb, Larry Sanders, The Office, and stuff like that, wonderful show called The Newsroom, that was made for the CBC, and it's brilliant. And I see nods in the peanut gallery, which I appreciate. Brilliant, Larry Sanders, Curb Your Enthusiasm style comedy at a 24-hour Toronto news station, news network. Funny shit. Funny, and Ken Finkelman is one of the stars, and the head writer of the show. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, Catherine Immelman, I'm like, what's Ken Finkelman? Honestly, because she's like my Canadian touchstone when I say, I'm like, tell me what Ken Finkelman's doing. And she, like, of course, looks at me like, dude, get away from me. But but tolerates me enough to say, oh, no, this is going on, and this is really good. But it's great. They're like, I love talking to Canadians about the Canadian TV that I love because, like, you know, we really think our TV is kind of shit. They're like, we like the American and British stuff we get. But I think there are gems among the crappy.
Red Green, of course, very funny.
Absolutely. Mm. No, that's what I'm saying, man. Hey.
No. I've watched the Red Green show. That is not fucking funny.
Well, Red Green?
Oh, come on. That show's terrible.
If the faggot can get it.
Hey, man.
No one else can use the F-word, by the way.
And also, Mark Verheiden wrote that awesome... And I don't know if Mark is technically Canadian or not. I don't know, but I always associated with being a Canadian comic. The American, which came out in
that's
the 80s.
The American is a Canadian.
No, but I always thought of it as a Canadian product. I mean, it was about an American super soldier. It's kind of a quasi-American super soldier during the Reagan era. And kind of,
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, it's awesome. Dark Horse had released a soft cover collection of the story. Because it really was spread over like 10 years, almost 10 years of it coming out. But it's a great... what if kind of, a Captain America-like character that was very popular in World War II and others have taken on the mantle since, and it's become kind of a pawn of the government, kind of Dark Knight-esque in terms of the Superman thing. But, yeah, Mark Verheiden wrote it, and it's outstanding. And I'm reasonably certain that in the foreword he talks about Canadian comics and stuff and that it is considered a Canadian production.
Sure he wasn't talking about comedians?
No, he wasn't. I promise.
Captain Canuck?
Captain Canuck was awesome as well.
There's a new, it's either Alter Ego or one of those, and it was great Canadian
superheroes.
Go grab that.
That's a very thin.
While Steve is grabbing that off the shelves, I want to let everyone know about the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, known as C2E2. For the first time in over two decades, a national comics and entertainment convention is coming to downtown Chicago. Make your plans now to attend C2E2 this April 16th through the 18th.
What the fuck is that?
Join thousands of comic book fans, creators, and celebrities for a weekend of fun and excitement in the city of Broad Shoulders. Special guests for this year's show include Alex Ross, Jeff Smith, Jeff Johns, Mike Mignola, Ethan Van Sciver, and hundreds more of your favorite creators.
Gail Simone.
Yep. Len Wein.
Ben Temple Smith. Len Wein's coming?
I think Len Wein's coming.
Awesome. Jolson's coming? That's wonderful.
For a full list of guests, including the now announced Artist Alley, there's going to be a Neil Gaiman reading. So I saw that.
That's awesome.
All of the Artist Alley.
The C2E2 app for your iPhone?
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You can get that for your iPhone. Visit C2E2.com. But wait.
There's more.
Yes. C2E2 and Around Comics are giving you a chance to win tickets and exclusive C2E2 merchandise before the big weekend. We'll be giving away one amazing VIP package, 3 weekend passes, 5 exclusive C2E2 posters signed by creator and guest of honor Alex Ross, and 15 limited edition C2E2 t-shirts, as well as a chance to have lunch with a Marvel editor.
What's Captain America really like? Are you going to eat those chips?
Entering the contest is easy. Just go to www.c2e2.com/aroundcomics. Enter your name and email address. That is all it takes.
Can I show you my Fing Fang Foom?
Stand back. The deadline for ordering tickets online to have them mailed to you is this Friday, March 19th.
So coming get up on that. My birthday. If you haven't done it, do it. Go to c2e2.com/aroundcomics because I'm on your show.
I could also do Around Word Balloon, but you know I'm on the other show, so I'm going to stay there.
And you can also follow C2E2 on Twitter at C2E2 or at C2E2, where they've got all sorts of updates.
Was there a Canadian character called the Penguin?
That's outstanding. All right, first of all, what is the magazine?
Alter Ego.
It's Alter Ego magazine,
which is one of my favorites. I love that.
Recognize these guys? Most of them are in the great Canadian comic books. Guys like Thunder Fist.
Oh, who could forget Thunder Fist?
The Penguin.
Oh, Jim Dandy, the
Red
Penguin.
Red Thornton.
Love Red Thornton. He was a good guy, you know.
Captain Red Thornton, sorry.
Oh, of course.
Dixon of the Mounted.
Oh,
Dixon of the Mounted.
Active Jim.
Oh, it's Saskatoon. He was really quite something.
Active Jim is, he plays
Seriously,
sports.
Man, I'm going to piss I off all the Canadian listeners.
The Brain, Battles the Mummy, Mr. Monster.
Mr. Monster, we all know.
Mr. Monster. Doc Stern.
Yeah, Doc Stern. I think that's another Michael Gilbert
Scott
character.
Stewart, Planet Pilot.
Michael T. Gilbert.
I didn't know Mr. Monster was Canadian.
Well, and I'm going to say...
Mr. Totem.
You know, I'm not sure, because he was a Golden Age character that Michael Gilbert brought back.
Hugh Dunnett.
Okay. Yeah. So he might have been an original Canadian.
They have a character named Hugh Dunnett.
What's the problem?
That's class,
my friend. Sure, by golly.
In this issue, Active Jim, the Active Club Panthers, Dr. Blue and Blackie, and the Raider of the Week, Penny's Diary.
I love
Active
Penny's
Comics,
Diary.
Number 20.
Man, Commando the shit that she used to write in her diary. I couldn't
the
believe she got
Commando,
away with that.
Clift Steele, The Young Commandos, The Sign of Freedom, Ace Bradley, Wings Over the Atlantic. Holy shit.
It just
I love
going,
holy shit books.
It?
Those are awesome. Yeah. That was the Catholic terrible. Canadian comic book. Holy
look
shit.
Look at this Penguin Dog character.
Dogface Dooley.
I look forward to it.
Look at Dogface
Dooley.
Dogface
Dooley. Oh, yeah. That's a badass beak, man.
There's no penguins in Canada. Why would they
that's a good point.
Why would they have
Harry,
a penguin?
You're right about that. They are South Pole creatures. That's a good point. The penguins would normally go to Canada.
Straight Arrow. He's a...
Oh, Jim Dandy.
Western character?
Sure.
Great Civil War escapes.
Great Civil War escapes. And they all went up to Canada. The end.
And then the
Captain America.
Yeah, I don't know. No. I will say one thing I appreciate about Canada is the I've always
climate.
Appreciated the way that they've used the maple leaf in their costumes for both hockey players
and superheroes.
Yeah, Vanguard true. And the national hockey team. I appreciate the red
sure.
the red maple leaf. I've often been
Make sure it's jealous.
I can't wait for the jam that's coming up, and I think I heard you mention it as well on 11 o'clock, that Jeffrey Brown, Jeff Lemire, and who's the third? That's gonna do. I want to say it's. I think it's Kent. I'm pretty sure it's Matt.
No, it's not Kent.
It's not Matt?
It's not Kent.
Okay. But they're going to do a hockey comic. Maybe it's Rob Ullman.
Yes.
It probably is Rob Ullman because Rob Ullman makes a great indie mini comic that is old time hockey tales. And it's there are true hockey stories. I've got a couple.
Active Jim, they should bring him back,
man.
Active Jim.
And honestly, there was a Canadian made television movie called Fair Play, and it was all about when they tried to do the Players Association back in the 50s for hockey. And Gordie Howe was like this massive holdout that, like, you know, but you really got a look at the hockey owners back when it was just the six teams,
right?
And it really was just, you know,
the original six.
Yeah, and it was, man, they're a bunch of assholes, and they totally treated the players like shit.
Well, that's any sport,
yeah. Right? Exactly. But that's the thing. So this was the NHL version of that story, yeah. And it was an awesome movie, very interesting.
I'm telling you, do you know what DC needs to do?
Tell
find out who owns the rights to these fucking characters.
Bring them all back. Penguin.
Put the Penguin against the Penguin.
Wow.
What's that shit?
They could be called the Ice Circle characters.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Speaking of bringing things back, and we talked about Green
bringing
Arrow.
Bringing sexy back.
Have any of you folks read the new Green Hornet?
I did.
How did you like it?
Meh. Not really care. Didn't really care for it.
Now, this is the Kevin Smith book,
well,
right?
Well, it's... Not technically Kevin Smith's book.
The problem. I read First Wave before I read Green Hornet.
No, I didn't.
Whoops.
Yeah.
It was okay. I mean, it's actually Phil Hester.
Yeah, Phil Hester breakdowns on it.
I read this today. Is that Kevin Smith has nothing to do with this book other than
right? It was.
It's the adaptation of his
Unproduced screenplay. Yeah.
Yeah. So Phil took that and
also
created the.
Is Phil writing it?
He's doing breakdowns on it. So
okay, I guess.
Yeah,
okay,
so it's
that's
breakdowns.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But Kevin Smith isn't getting anything from it, which is interesting.
Oh, well, that
really?
To be honest,
whoever owns the script, he sold. You know,
yeah, I'm
sold
sure Bertucci.
Yeah,
script. I'm sure Bertucci bought that.
And
that's fine.
Oh, and they're slapping Kevin Smith's name all over.
Well,
because
he did write.
He did write.
He wrote it,
but he's not getting paid for it.
It was made for Miramax.
He didn't seem to care. He was happy to see it published.
That's Hollywood. That's okay.
I liked it. I wasn't blown away by it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the Green Hornet was such a goofy character anyway to begin with.
This first issue
explain your goofiness,
sir.
Because I will defend the honor of the Green Hornet.
There's honor in the Green Hornet.
Sure, there is. Absolutely,
goofy.
There is. Oh no, I'm sorry. Tell me your goofiness, and I'll tell you what I
what
think of the
Green Hornet. What do you mean? What is there not goofy about that show?
Well, how is that any different than any other masked vigilante? The Crimson Adventure.
He said, "How's that?" He said, "The show."
No, but even
that,
the show,
that's
they
the
played it straight.
Of the show.
And really, hey man,
that
they did
the original
because it wasn't trying to be.
They did?
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't as wacky as Batman was. Batman.
Well,
was
that was intentionally wacky.
But it was the
this
same
was,
producers. It was the same
this
producers.
This wasn't nearly. All right, John. I don't know my opinion of the Green Hornet television show.
I want
is
to
it was a
discussion.
Goofy character. The only thing cool about it was Bruce Lee.
That car, the Black Beauty, that was a badass car back then. You got to put yourself in 1960, whatever, man. That's
no,
what I'm saying.
I don't.
Well,
I guess you don't.
Well, no, and I was going to say more so, and I'm glad you said that, Steve, because I was going to say more so on the character. The character is a classic character. It's a character that was came out of radio. It's one of the original heroes that predates the superhero.
Just because something's old doesn't make it good,
but,
John.
Well, no, wait a minute. I'll tell you. He's a masked Avenger. He has the whole newspaper. No, I don't. And I haven't read the Kevin Smith one yet. I'm talking about the Green Hornet in general. newspaper publisher by day, corrupt city, trying to fight the good fight. Only way that he can do it is to infiltrate the bad groups as a bad guy.
I understand
that.
Kato
was an awesome character. And further, I haven't read the Kevin Smith one yet, but I have been talking to Matt Wagner, who's going to do the Golden Age Dynamite Green Hornet thing. I'm very excited for that because he's also got Aaron Campbell, who did that awesome Sherlock Holmes for Dynamite.
So tell me once again, what wasn't goofy about Green Hornet?
It was, again, I think it's, if Bruce Wayne were a publisher, that's what Britt Reid was.
Oh,
totally.
Good
Lord.
They never did anything serious with the Green Hornet. It was all,
You're talking about the TV show again, and
well,
I understand.
I didn't read
it. Well,
Well, I'll tell you, Spalding.
That's Caddyshack. But no, man, first of all, again, this is a very popular character for decades and still has a lot of followers. The fact that
they're
Bruce Lee
dying.
Was the fact that Bruce Lee was you're right. Now you're right. The fact that Bruce Lee was associated with the show certainly helps and became huge and is responsible for his martial arts film career because he did that silly show for it.
So
for
other
one
than
year.
Okay, there was a radio show, The Green Hornet. Were there comics?
Yes,
at one
sir,
point
there was. Harvey Comics published. Absolutely, was huge.
I'm just asking.
Well, I'm saying
from my own experience.
I understand.
The Green Hornet was a goofy character.
Okay. But I'm just telling you that I think it was another good masked Avenger. There's a reason why the Crimson Avenger was created by DC Comics, which was a knockoff of the Green Hornet, including Wing.
Even the name, the Green Hornet. What the fuck
the
is the Green Hornet?
Well, it's by the sting of the Green Hornet.
You will feel the Green Hornet.
Absolutely, man. Bruce Lee is Kato, the Green Hornet.
I've heard
Hornet
that
blows.
One before. I like that last panel, that's for sure.
That's some bad. Hey, man, Van Williams was an awesome Britt Reed. I think it was a great show, man. I put it in the perspective when the only games in town were George Reeves Superman, Adam West Batman, and Van Williams Green Hornet.
You can't delineate something and say,
what?
Well, it was a great show because it was the one of only four superhero shows on television.
Quite the contrary.
No. How many shows were on television? Was it a great television show?
Sure. Well, I think
it was going up
against
Gilligan's Island. Sorry.
Exactly. Gilligan kicked the shit out of the Green Hornet. I'm aware of that. No, this is a good discussion. I'm glad we're having this. No, I honestly think all of those shows, including the shitty 70s Shazam, you have to put yourself back
Jesus
when there was nothing.
Christ. No, I don't have to sit there and go, well, because they were the only game in town that I appreciated something to do with it.
Sorry.
That makes it good.
Do you like Red Brown's Captain America?
No, it's fucking awful.
I like when he gets. I love when the vein pops
Christ,
out of his
because,
forehead.
Just because you slap something.
I didn't like that either.
Just
by
because
the way.
You slap something superhero on something, it doesn't
well,
make
right.
it inherently
but
better.
I would say
I like superheroes.
But again, in that collective of 50s through 70s, when there wasn't a lot of superhero stuff, the Green Hornet was awesome. I'm telling you.
No.
Yes.
You appreciated it. You liked it
because
there was no superhero stuff.
Why
does it make it any better?
Why was Encore rerunning it for years
and stuff? Because there's a lot of nerds like you that think
and,
it was awesome.
And also Bruce Lee was fantastic
awesome.
On that show. Bruce Lee was awesome on that show.
He was good.
He was good. Well, again, that opened the door for them to say in Hong Kong, hey, why don't you come over here and make a movie? This show's kicking ass over here because of you.
What?
That's what happened.
It didn't open the door for Bruce Lee to make kung fu movies.
Sure it did.
Hollywood not giving him the opportunity to make kung fu because they gave it to
Tony
Carradine.
So he went and made movies in Hong Kong. Yeah, so
because Hollywood wouldn't let him make any goddamn movies.
Yeah, but they were making movies in Hong Kong, and they're like, hey, we want you. You're awesome.
Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Well, he was part of the show.
Not because of Kato.
What are you talking about?
It sucked. It's terrible.
You don't know.
I do know.
And again, really looking forward to Mets. And also Andy Parks doing the Kato miniseries is going to be a lot of fun. I'm all for it.
New Kato,
I think it's easier, too, when there's... did you guys ever read the Now Comics from the... Obviously, you didn't, because you would have remembered. Now Comics in the early 90s, right here in Chicago. Awesome Green Hornet series. And they did a great job.
I can't trust your opinion of awesome anymore, John.
But no, they truly did. Well, and also, you know...
It's like saying...
Do you know...
Well, let's see. There's...
Green Hornet is a legacy character, sir. Do you know who the Green Hornet is connected to? Probably not.
I'm sure I don't.
That would be the Lone Ranger, sir. That's his nephew. I'm going to make money. No. Both shows were created in Detroit at WXYZ.
Wait a minute. What show? The television shows?
The radio shows, the original forms of both the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet. They created the Lone Ranger first back in 1933. In 1936, they decided to do a spinoff and make a modern-day Lone Ranger. That would be the Green Hornet, sir. And it was created by the same man, Mr. Franz Stryker.
That doesn't make him his brother.
Hold on. Britt Reed's nephew. Who the fuck is
Britt Reed?
Well, Britt Reed is the... There you go. You don't even know this shit. Yet you're shitting on this character.
School,
wait a minute. Who's
just because something is old and has a bunch of obscure history doesn't make it better.
Do you know the secret identity of the Lone Ranger? Do you know the secret identity of the Lone Ranger? I love this talk. Go ahead.
No, I don't know the secret
identity. That would be John Reed.
Okay.
John Reed was a Texas Ranger. John had a brother named Dan.
Jesus Christ, John. You need to Dan's get out more. Dan's grand... Damn it, Lord.
This was back in
This does not make the show better.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you, there is a legitimate superhero legacy that started with the Lone Ranger and ended with the Green Hornet. It's true. I'm sorry you don't know it.
That doesn't make these properties any better because they have a legacy.
Sure it does. What I'm willing to do is because
Canada has the Penguin that started in 1946. If that character came back today, it doesn't make it any better.
All of these characters are two-dimensional until a modern writer has a chance to do something different with them. I think that there's enough of a foundation in the Green Hornet's backstory and history.
You haven't even read it.
I'm
already defending it.
I haven't read the issue.
Defending it because it's the Green Hornet.
Yes, I am. And it is a character that I enjoy.
But that does not make this any better.
That's fine. But that's only one portion of what Dynamite is doing with the Green Hornet.
That's what we're talking about.
I'm talking about the whole Dynamite Green Hornet. Yeah, because it's coming back.
You enjoy the legacy of the Green Hornet.
There's a new movie coming out as well.
The legacy of a character does not make a story any better. I don't give a shit if the Green Hornet,
but again, and that's
walked
fine.
With Jesus. It doesn't make this issue of a
I saw that episode. That was awesome. So
any better.
Bruce Lee got in a serious fist fight with Jesus.
Green
and he kicked his ass.
This is why comic books are in the fucking conundrum they are right now, because you're willing to accept bad stories about characters that you loved when you were a child.
No, I'm willing to sample them and then make my decisions, but I'm excited.
But you haven't even sampled this! You've already made a decision.
I didn't.
It's fantastic because it's the Green Hornet.
I'm saying the character is fantastic, and in the right hands, you'll get great stories. And I do trust Matt Wagner, who knows how to. Well, then, all right, and I'll read this, and honestly, if I hate it, I'll say...
Well, the television show, I don't think the hands were quite correct.
I'm excited that there are new Green Hornet comics, both reflecting the old times and the modern times.
How excited are you? I can't. You're not that excited tonight.
No, I am excited.
You're not. You haven't read it. You haven't purchased it.
So you're not excited.
You're making all this up.
I hate it when mommy and daddy
fight.
I have to ask a question. What? So shut the fuck up. I have to ask a question.
Yes.
The question is this. Is there even a demand for this? Because in all honesty,
I heard Wood ask that same question.
Vanity project.
Green Hornet. Who gives a shit?
Thank you.
I appreciate your love for him, John. I really do.
They're making a new movie of it.
Right, and who gives a shit?
Don't you think it's easier to take a character like this that hasn't been used in a long
time? Don't drag me into this.
Because honestly, this is part of... I heard these guys saying the same thing on 11 O'Clock Comics the other day. That was very interesting. But no, I think it's easier to start with a template like that where, Grandpa's going to go, oh, look, it's your Green Hornet. I remember him. That's going to be great. And he takes his
grandson
to see it.
Grandpa's not going anywhere.
He's
going
to take his grandkids to see it.
I got two.
And I think it's easier to take an old character, like Project Superpowers.
I've got two words to throw at you.
Sure.
That sucked.
The Shadow?
Love The Shadow.
Sucked.
Phantom.
Sucked. Both of those. By the way, The Shadow movie...
So
two-star movie, and there are aspects of both the Phantom. And by the way, in the Phantom movie, and I got a whole continent that loves the Phantom. It's not ours. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I like the Shadow.
I think it ended badly, but I think the first half of the movie was all right.
But they both tanked.
Yeah, but again,
was there a demand for them?
But no. I think they've
been talking about doing like a Phantom TV show cartoon for like the past 20 fucking years.
Australia is producing a new Phantom movie because there's still a huge following.
A new Phantom TV show, right?
Well, there was that as well, but no, this is a feature. And actually, I was just talking about Templesmith. And to be honest, he basically said the same thing you guys did, that the only people that like the Phantom in Australia are a bunch of old fucks that don't like comic books but still love the Phantom. So I understand. I don't know what to tell you.
I would highly appreciate it if they could do something with this character and bring in a new audience for it. That's fantastic. Sure.
Well, okay.
We'll see what happens with this movie.
Talk to me, Chris.
No, I understand, you're focusing on the issue. I understand.
Talk over them, Chris, and talk to me.
I think that's what they're trying to do with this relaunch is that they're updating it and it's now the son of the Green Hornet.
I changed my mind completely. This has got a cover by John Cassidy. That's all I need.
Well, it's by Dynamite. Nice. Of course, it has a cover by Jack.
All right.
And Alex Ross too.
Okay, let's leave on this high
Ooh,
note.
I like the fire and brimstone that we brought tonight. That's all right. I know. Sal thinks I'm an idiot.
I have liked Dynamite's Lone Ranger though. That's pretty well done.
It's pretty good
art.
Well, you know, Brett's gonna write the other.
Who's Brett?
Brett Matthews is going to write the guy who writes
Lone Ranger
is going to be writing the ultimate version of, as they're calling it, Green Hornet.
Is that the Kato with tits version?
I think this is the Kato with tits.
That's what Andy's writing.
Fantastic.
Why, it's on the cover. I thought you read this already. Isn't it? Isn't that Kato with tits?
She's not. There's no Kato with tits in here.
Okay. On the cover.
She's on the cover. You can't tell that well.
Wow. No. Alex Ross, you need to draw chicks better.
Well, maybe it's purposely ambiguous.
Obscured.
I don't know.
I guess she's got
androgynous.
Maybe she's part of the itty bitty committee.
Because they did that in the Nowcombs version too. The 60s, the TV Green Hornet, which they acknowledge in the Now comics, has a heart attack. He can't be Green Hornet anymore. And Kato, Bruce Lee quits as well. So his nephew takes over, and it's Kato's younger sister. So they had a female Kato in the 90s
really?
Now comic. I'm telling you, the Now comic from the 90s was good too.
Fantastic.
I hope the movie's good. Christoph Waltz, that's going to be his next movie. In
Ooh, and there's a black
he's the bad
Hornet.
Guy. Edward James Olmos in the Green Hornet movie. Of course, Seth Rogen playing the Hornet. I was bummed they wanted Stephen Chow to be Kato.
Is he still doing that?
No, which sucks. Okay. And I don't know who's
right. Don't ask me, dude.
All right,
because they're gonna do it like the television show. It's gonna be a comedy
from Speed Racer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
If the Green Hornet was such a fantastic character, why is Seth Rogen playing him?
Well, I think there's gonna
be
some ironic.
Goddamn comedy.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
Because it's a joke.
Check out.
Like when Michael Keaton played Batman.
All right.
No, that's what you're going to get.
Stop. Ding, ding. Uh-huh. Ding, ding. All right.
You ain't going to get
it. Take it outside.
Check out John on Word Balloon. Check out Stevie on Comic Book Queers. Tom versus The Flash. You can hear more of me on Word Balloon.
He didn't even know this fucking show. Why are you promoting his show?
Because he's part of the
show. Part of the family. All right. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. John, Steve, Sal,
fuck you,
and
guys.
Green Hornet.
John, you want to argue? That's how I argue.
I like it.
It was some fire. It was some fire.
Good.
I was like, mommy and daddy.
Made me laugh.
I really liked First Wave.
Yeah,
me too.
That was awesome.
We all like
book.
First
I
Wave.
I love that book.
Yeah, everyone, Sal and I can agree on that.
Have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend, folks. Come back or come to Dark Tower Comics this Friday. It will be our very
Watch
last.
Watch me beat the shit out of John Suntress next week.
Apparently. It's going to be our last recording, and we may all die.
I hope not.
Why would we die?
Well, you guys are angry. It's the last recording. We
like
don't know what's going to happen.
I'm not going to fucking die. I'll guarantee you.
I'll tell you.
Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back next Monday with another full-length episode.
Chris is probably going to cry.
a single tear.
Bullshit.
In the meantime.
In Green Hornet's time.
We'll fuckers.
In around
comics.
You know what the fuck you're talking about.
No, God. I couldn't possibly know my own opinion.
Yeah, clearly.
Jesus.
Good! I like that!
John, it's just like anything that was old.
It's awesome!
It is not awesome! Read the issue!
Tell me it was awesome.
Read it, yeah.
Yeah, tell me it was awesome because it was Green Hornet.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production. Copyright 2010. Come on.